This podcast may contain adult language and themes, or it might not. We're not really sure. We haven't recorded it yet.
I'm Jason.
I'm Diggs.
I make software, music, and podcasts.
I connect people, personally and professionally, and I like talking with Jason.
This is the Candy Factory 5x5 podcast.
Five conversations.
Five random topics.
5 minutes each.
When we hear this sound,
we move on to the next topic. Next.
On every episode, we invite a very special guest to join us. That's right. That's right, friends. We are recording 5x5 live tonight from the sixth floor of the Candy Factory. Welcome, everybody. Thanks for being here tonight. Our special guest on the program tonight is Baron.
Hello, everybody.
I don't know Baron. Baron, I don't know your last name.
Baron is my last name. Everyone calls me Baron.
Oh, Baron. So it's just it's like Bono. We're going to go with it.
It is exactly like Bono.
That's Baron, not his Baron's name. But
I took Cher, Madonna. Well, you know, I'm not specific.
Sting.
Yeah, there we go. That's it. Yeah.
It's like you're like Sting, sort of like Sting.
Just much alike.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, Baron?
Let's see. I've been coming on and off to the Candy Factory for so many years that I cannot even begin to figure it out. I'd randomly live close to Lancaster, become friends, and then run away across country or the world, as happens. Mm-hmm. I'm really enjoying this iteration of being here. I just love the Candy Factory, what you guys are building here. It's fantastic.
We appreciate you being here.
Yeah. And so I work on my company every day, Wholesale Nuts and Dried Fruit, where I sell nuts and dried fruits and seeds on the internet.
Wow.
And I try and make happy customers whenever I can. If I make them angry, then I try and satisfy them in any way that I can.
Who buys nuts from you on the internet?
So there's individuals. So it'll be people with...
like I could just order
for sure.
Nuts.
Yeah, I sell 10 and 25 pound boxes. But nice. It's people with diseases, all kinds of cancers, IBS, you know, any kind of manner of things.
They need bulk.
Yeah, they need bulk.
Got it.
Vegans, people with a number of kids, let's say 5 kids, you know, it's hard to feed, you know, people with a whole group of hungry mouths. People that are training, people that do meal prep for their friends is really popular. People that are having an event, like a wedding or something, are trying to do it themselves. All kinds of people doing events. So it doesn't have to be weddings. And then businesses, people that make their own products, cookies, granola, oils.
Well, here I was like, I can't even imagine someone who's buying these nuts, and it's like everybody.
Everybody.
But there's probably people in this audience who bought your nuts from the internet. Like anybody? Ashley has.
There you go. Thank you.
Did you still have to pay shipping and handling?
Well, technically no.
They were good.
Hey. I hooked her up. Yeah, that's the benefit of having me in the front room. I just somehow always collect food. Like I'm always being sent food from farmers and things, and I'm always going somewhere and getting more food. Awesome. So my trunk just seems to always have fresh food in it for some reason.
Wow, it's fantastic. I wish my trunk always had fresh food.
What do you drive?
Well, we're here to make a podcast called the Candy Factory 5x5 podcast. People ask me all the time, the Candy Factory, do you make candy? Of course, we don't. We do not make candy at the Candy Factory. We make what? Dreams come true. That's what we do here at the Candy Factory. We're kicking off our Candy Factory TCF. That's another, you know, also known as TCF. The TCF Social Club season. 6 months of social events. In our sixth floor clubhouse, which is where we're recording this tonight. You can learn all about getting a season pass if you're not a co-working member. If you are a co-working member, you're already in the door. You're coming up. You're coming up for all these awesome season. This awesome season of events comes starting in October of this year, running through March of next year. So check it out online, coworkinginlancaster.com. 5x5, simple concept. I've got an iPad. His name is Frank. He's sitting right next to me. Frank is going to dish up 5 random topics. We're going to talk about each topic for 5 minutes. Going to count down. Going to hear a little jingle. Hey, we're live. We're going to do a little dance.
No.
No more dancing. We're going to hear a little jingle. We're going to move on to the next topic. I'm here with my good friend Diggs. It's always a pleasure to see you.
And you.
And are you guys feeling good? You feeling loose?
Yeah.
How about you guys out there?
You good?
All right. Here we go. Frank, give me topic number one. Architecture. This is the making of buildings.
No.
Diggs, where are you with architecture?
I mean,
start with you.
There's so much to be like appreciated about it. Like, and depending on where you are, I guess it is what matters. So, like, I'm used because my sister lives abroad, going to Europe and seeing like all the like what is so different about their architecture versus like what we have here, or even just comparing like different eras of architecture,
yeah.
Like especially on the East Coast where there's a lot of like history in terms of like things that were built in the 1600s, which isn't old for Europe, but like it's old for us.
Yeah.
And then comparing like what you can see in like Boston compared to what you can see in New York versus what you can see in DC. Like there's a lot that can be talked about if you know what you're talking about.
What is the architecture of now? Baron, thoughts on that? Like what is it, you know what I mean? Like what are people going to be looking at right now and they're going to be going, yeah, like in 400 years, I'd be like, man, that 21st century.
So I've been designing my dream home.
Okay.
Right now.
So you know all about this?
Yeah. Well, I have my own idea for architecture. I've been spending a lot of time in the Middle East, hence the shirt. So, and so I have an idea of building with 4 shipping containers, a home that opens up on the inside and has a water feature on the inside. So 4 shipping containers facing each other, front door in one, back door in the other, all glass on the inside.
Wow.
And the great part is that because it is so hard to get construction people to your home, nowadays it is just so difficult to build a kitchen or whatever. It is super inexpensive to take a shipping container, put it on the back of a truck, and send it to the place that builds the kitchen or the bedroom or the movie theater.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. Do you think that are people going to look back and be like, that was the era of the shipping container?
I mean, they're doing it. Like, I watched that YouTube channel that's all shipping container houses. Like, I'm obsessed with that kind of
thing. We buy so much stuff. We ship so much stuff.
I ship a lot of containers places, so, yeah.
It just makes sense.
Yeah,
they're super cheap and easy. They're like $4,000 or $5,000 for one container. So with just bare bones house, it's like $20,000 for like...
Like, just for the structure of the house. And then what's the deal with, like, can you just drop those things anywhere? Can you just, like... Like a Walmart parking lot, you just there you go.
I live here now.
Just pull up, just plug into something. I don't know.
I ship a lot of containers for not just food, but art, let's say, right? You can ship things across and all over the place, like for festivals, for whatever, you need a container somewhere. And so it's about $4,000 just to ship a container, like to California, let's say, and put it in a place that builds kitchens and say, put a kitchen in this container, make it work, and then send it back to me in Philadelphia.
Wow. Did you guys know about this? No, there's a lot of no's out there in the audience. This is why I do this program.
Well, I've seen like them used for like I'm trying to think of one like a laser tag situation, like multiple.
Oh.
Being used for like as like the multiple levels of like laser tag layout and whatnot. But yeah, as a housing, that's a really novel.
Yeah. So Arabic housing, there is a water feature in the middle. And that's because of their religion. You wash your hands quite a bit, especially when you are going for prayer. You go and you wash your hands. So having a really cool water feature in the middle of the home is like how people in the Middle East build their homes. Here, it's all the kitchen. Everyone comes together in the kitchen. That's like the center of the house, right? Mm-hmm. But it is uninteresting. It is way more fun to have like a water feature in the middle.
What kind of water feature would you put in the middle of the house? Like, is it like when you say water feature, it could be anything, right?
It could be anything. Yeah, I just hire an artist and they to give them free creative freedom, just as long as water flows through it. That's all I care about.
That's all that matters.
Yeah.
Do you have a style or a favorite kind of architecture that's going to influence the way that this shipping container? I mean, right now it's just a box, right?
I mean, Arabic architecture has been speaking to me for a long time. I was just in Egypt. And so the architecture of the homes is really interesting that way. Like when you get out to the suburbs and the country, it's fantastic. Like some of those old houses that are just, you know.
Like Landisville?
Landisville, yeah. If you go to a mosque, I mean, they have mosques in everywhere. But, you know, it's just way more. I don't know if it's growing up in Philadelphia, in downtown Philadelphia. So I always had like colonial architecture, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you can only get excited about it for so long before it just seems...
But think about folks on the West Coast that come over here that don't have that, and then they come and see that. Oh, look! This is what America was before we like expanded out west. Like, you never know.
The further east you go, the older things get. Until you just cross water and you're in Europe, and things get even older. And then you keep going to the Middle East, and it's even older. I mean,
what's the newest place? Is it like
California,
San Francisco? It's like
California,
Hawaii. Yeah. Is Hawaii newer? Well, I guess like with the.
Except for the indigenous people.
Well, of course, I'm not saying that there weren't, but I'm just saying like in terms of buildings and whatnot, I guess. Settled. I don't know. Where, you know what I mean? Like with,
in terms of like the architecture of the, like where would you find the most, like the highest concentration of newest architecture?
Yeah.
I'd still say California probably. But
Phoenix has been booming. I've been going to Phoenix for years. It's wild how it used to be so small and everything was one story and now there's buildings. Like there's buildings above two stories.
I feel like that's going to be a mistake. I feel like that we're going to look back on Phoenix and be like, man, that wasn't a good idea. You know what I mean? Like there's just a whole lot of things going on, right? On the globe. And I'm just like, that Phoenix, I've flown in there. It's like, I don't know.
It's hot there. It's boiling.
Well, we're closing the door on topic number one. We're moving on to topic number two of this episode of 5x5, which is accents.
Ugh.
Accents. Mm. Ooh, Can we hear it for accents? Let's go. Let's bring it. Like, don't hold back, folks. This is 5x5.
Do I stay or is someone else coming up
here to
take on accents?
It's the fastest 25 minutes of podcast.
I love it. I'll take a Southern accent all the time. Like if you can give me as much Colonel Sanders or just Southern Belle, I'll take it.
Is that right?
It's really been.
I wouldn't have pegged you as a Southern accent guy.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm
hanging out in the Middle East doing the twang, you know?
Well, I'm from South Street in Philadelphia.
Oh.
So it's already South. So I'm a Southerner.
Well, I mean, yeah, close to the Mason-Dixon. It works on multiple levels.
Yeah, and it's always so hard to find that accent now because everyone's kind of from everywhere and Atlanta's full of, like, new people. But it used to be that you just go down there and it'd be Kentucky, really something.
But, you know, the Southern accents, there's a lot of difference. Like, you know what I mean? When you get in there, you know what I mean? It's like when you get into the South, there's a lot of different ones.
Mm-hmm.
I want Dukes of Hazzard, Moonshine. Like, I went fried chicken. Like, that's the accent I'm really looking for.
Fried chicken. Yeah, fried chicken accent. Of course, I can hear it in my head right now.
What any Southerner would hear is the stereotypical, like, TV accent.
Yeah.
But then there's, like, the...
Roscoe P. Coltrane.
Well, no, I was going to say,
Which is not a Southern accent. Let's just be clear. Roscoe P. Coltrane is not...
My ancestors are...
How many people in this room have never heard of Roscoe P. Coltrane? You've never heard of Roscoe.
Keep it that way.
Do an internet search as soon as you get home.
Yeah, you heard Google. Enough.
Dukes of Hazzard from the back. Yeah, absolutely. Google that shit.
While you're there, look up Daisy Dukes, if you can. Just... Now, she had a Southern accent. Maybe that's what spoke to me.
Well, I was going to say that, like, for, like, the Southern, like, accents that, like, it's almost like thinking through, like, all those, like, stereotypical accents that we know. And what I was going to start to say, then I was like, I don't know if I want to bring him up. But Kevin Spacey from House of Cards, and yes, I know, he is canceled. But
I don't know if he's known for House of Cards.
Yeah, I thought
so. Is he back?
He is?
No, I'm asking. It's a question. Anyway. I'm not pro Kevin Spacey.
The point was just that the accent that he did for his character in that show was in House of Cards was like, it wasn't, any actor can't be like 100% correct if you're not from the area, but like folks sort of appreciated the nuances he tried to pull in from like that little bit of South Carolina, I think it was where he was supposed to be from, and like in the work he put in to like actually like get the little bits right instead of doing like the like a regular old like Colonel Sanders or
right, yeah, or sure, whatever. They're all cartoony,
yeah.
Right.
Or at this point, Matthew McConaughey, he's kind of become a caricature of the Southern accent, even though
he's I won cartoony.
you want to go straight, yeah,
Foghorn Leghorn,
yeah, Roscoe,
yeah,
yeah, exactly.
Do you have a favorite accent, Diggs?
Was there a suggestion? I honestly don't know. I mean, the folks that know me, I'm an Anglophile, but I don't know if that's my favorite accent. I appreciate the like the history and the stuff that they do in the TV a lot, but some of their accents, that's another place that's like you hear the stereotypical British accent and like that's just one.
Right.
And then you don't really get to hear like the rest of like what the North, what Northern England sounds like,
sure,
what Scotland, yeah. Like, oh God, that's.
Yeah, I mean, it's a. Why do Americans start to speak with a British accent when they go to England? Like when they're landing, like when the plane's coming down, they all start speaking.
They do the same thing when they. Some of them do.
Do Brits do that to come in here?
I've heard some really.
No, they do not. I can tell you for a fact, no, they do not.
yeah, no, yes. Because I've met a couple Brits, maybe when they're drunk, at least back in New York, trying to like order like drinks as if they're like New York is in there. Just stop. It doesn't work.
I would do French. I like French.
Can you do it?
No.
No, that was not bad.
I mean, I'm just that asshole. You know, I'm just a jerk. I'm just like a jerk. I'd be like, good.
You see how easy that
is? You really have to make love to the microphone. Yeah. You really got to.
Well, you need a cigarette and a baguette.
Get away from me. Is that my jerk? Like, I'm like, I'm not a nice person when I do that. You know what I mean? It's always that. You know what I'm saying? But I love it. I would speak French if I could speak French.
Ooh, yeah. Sure. I mean, I guess
that's great.
I mean, technically, that's accurate. Yeah. That if I could speak French, I would speak French. But I mean, or I could speak French. No, I would. If there was a language I could learn like this, I'm not going to work for it at this point.
But what would it be? Just French?
French.
Okay.
It's romantic. I'm a romantic guy. I'm a romantic guy.
I mean, ooh.
I'm looking at Anne. I'm like, look. I'm convincing her. I'm like, look. I'm serious. I'm serious. I'm romantic. Like, believe me. The French just sounds beautiful. You know what I'm saying?
Does it?
I think it does. I think it's a very flowery language. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful language. Anyway.
I like that you like
it. I can't do the act. I really can't do any accent, even though there were times where I thought I could. And I can't really do them. And that's it. That's it. We're closing the book on it. I was in the middle of a sentence, so I lost my segue. I'm sorry, friends. We're moving on to topic number three. I'm not even going to try to save that. Topic number three of this episode, 5x5, Apple or PC? Apple or PC? How about let's hear it for the Apple fans out there. Let's hear it for the PC fans out there. It's a lower pitch. Did you notice that?
That was a lower pitch.
The Apple has a higher pitch.
It's an enthusiasm.
Now, does it also correlate to Android versus iPhone?
Absolutely. Well, isn't
yeah, yeah. Okay.
Right. Oh, so wait a minute. That's not PC.
No, but I just meant like, are PC fans also Android fans?
Oh, that's a good question. Is anybody? Yeah, and no Apple fan would have an Android, right? Like they would scoff at that, like a French person.
Yeah, but you can't when you're actually
get it away from me. Get this Android.
The green text.
When you travel, you can't find an Apple charger because people don't have Apple phones. When you're in other countries, it's more of an American thing to have. Everyone has an Apple charger.
Oh, what well, isn't
it's so wait, hard? Like wait. You're in a taxi, you're in like a hotel. They're just like, we don't know what you're talking about, Apple. We don't have those wires.
Like Android is everywhere,
mm-hmm.
Except here.
Yeah,
yeah.
Is that right?
Well, within reason. I mean, like I've run into this problem. I'm in the Netherlands a lot because my sister's there, and oddly, I've had pretty good luck, like outside of major cities, getting random iPhone cords, which is weird. I'm with you.
My sister lives in Tel Aviv, so it's a little bit more challenging.
Fair.
It's actually fine in Israel. The minute you get out of there, it's like in Africa, there's not like one Apple charging cord.
Well, the thing that cracks me up is like her. That's not one cord. But
I'm
like,
sorry, Africa.
I will see like folks, I'll see a room of like all iPhones like in Europe, and they're still using WhatsApp to communicate with each other. That's the
on
part
iPhones.
Yes, that's the part that I don't fully understand. I understand if you need to use it to communicate with like other people, but fair. But it's just like if you're, I'm talking about those folks who are literally sitting next to each other and they're all on WhatsApp.
Well, they should talk.
Well, there's that too. that is a big thing. But also like iMessage is international, friends. So I don't understand why you would be using WhatsApp on an iPhone. But
I think what we've determined is through this conversation is that humans are awful at rolling out technology in any kind of like any kind of way that makes sense.
We're awful and also simultaneously great at congratulating ourselves the next innovation that was already rolled out 10 years ago.
I mean, you said it in one word, charger.
Yeah.
What a nightmare chargers are.
Oh, yeah. I should be able to charge it one time in the beginning of the week and then charge it next Sunday.
Absolutely.
And then the next Sunday I charge it again.
Look, if we put the man on the moon, what, 1969? We can't charge an iPhone for, you know what I mean, for a day? It doesn't stay charged? Like, that's just something.
It doesn't make sense. It
doesn't make any sense.
Mm-hmm.
The amount of technology that we have and you can't solve that problem. I did hear that Apple is going to USB-C. For charging, is that accurate?
That is accurate.
I think
So we are trying to. So we're trying.
You know what I love is ironic Apple covers on computers. So you either have like the Wicked Witch, or not the Wicked Witch, from Cinderella, where she did the evil mother.
Stepmother.
Or whatever, she's holding up the apple, right? Or Adam and Eve, where they're holding up the apple.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. Are you an Apple guy?
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, like ever?
Whenever, ever like every few years when the new one comes out, I just jump on it.
Yeah, it takes you
But at least it's every few years. You're not one of the folks that are like every
year. Every year you're just trading it out.
Those folks, I wonder where you get the money.
I carry my laptop so much that every pound I save is huge on my back. Like my back just keeps getting better over time because I'm carrying less weight.
That's a fair point.
Apple decreases the weight of the of the laptop. Your health improves. Yeah. Maybe that's what we're missing in this country with healthcare. We just need smaller laptops. The whole thing just goes away.
You just solved it.
Yeah, we don't need to put chiropractors out of business. Just make a smaller laptop for crying out loud.
Think about how heavy your bag is. If you can shave it down a few pounds, any way you can work it, then by all means.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Are you an Apple guy, Diggs? I feel like I've seen you with all different kinds of computers.
Because my work my work computer is a PC, and it's honestly a piece of shit. I cannot stand it. Like the camera, we're on camera all day, and I joined my first meeting for this job, and I was appalled at the camera quality. It was like BlackBerry. It was like... What was the biggest like pixels you could get on a BlackBerry way back in the day? That's how it looks, and like the there's no light correction. Anyway, I don't need to bore
right,
you.
Take a breath.
Yeah,
we got people here.
So I know. I'm sorry. I apologize. I'm not saying that all PCs are shit. This they just happened to buy a really crappy PC.
It's all the ones you've
for
used
my
in
work.
Your life, yeah.
No. So what I was gonna say was in high school I had the HP convertible tablet. Like PC. I love that thing. That was great because it was like, then I could take, it was the best of both worlds. If I wanted to write, I could write on the screen. If I wanted to type, I could type. So there was a time when I was a big PC fan. And then, I don't know, I got a Mac for a student discount through FNM and I kind of never looked back. Personal use.
You're like, oh, this is what it's like to compute. This is welcome.
Yes. Pretty much.
Yeah, I've never been really a fanboy of either, but I've had to use Apples for
what are we using right now?
Huh?
What's that? What's Frank?
It's an iPad.
Ah.
All right, friends, the battery has died on topic number 3. We're moving on to topic number 4 of this episode of 5x5. Frank, give it to me. Backpack or book bag? Backpack or book bag.
Okay, this is my fault.
Yeah, I have no idea what the hell this topic's about.
The question I'm asking is, what do you call it? Because I don't think there's a regionalism to this, or I don't have a rhyme or reason. Like, I switch between backpack and book bag.
You say book
for
bag.
But I don't know why. So I was like thinking about it. I was like, maybe there are folks that have like a staunch rule. It's like, it's definitely a backpack, and it's definitely a book bag. So
let me just explain something about 5x5. When I say a topic is random, okay, what I mean by that, it's kind of random in air quotes. So it's random in the moment. Like, we have no idea what topics are going to be presented to us.
Can you see the topics?
But this is,
no,
they
can,
cannot
no,
see
they
the
can.
Topics.
All right, so the topic is book bag or is capitalized. Book bag, question mark.
Yeah,
backpack or book bag. I already explained that part, Baron. Yeah, catch up with me.
Well, like, you only get a choice of one or the other, right?
No. It's what would you choose?
I can't have both?
You can have both, but it's the same thing.
But that's the... Oh,
it's
sorry. We'll finish your thing about...
All right, let me explain how this works. So we suggest topics into an app. So we pull out our phones.
That he built, by the way.
We pull out our phones, and when you think, oh, that'd be fun to talk about a 5x5, and we put it into the system, right? And our friends sometimes suggest things, and then we're presented with these topics in a randomized way. So it's random in the fact it can be anything. You can put anything you want in there, but it's not like Google's just dishing. It's not like this came from some like Google, you know, thing.
No, I took the credit for it.
I just wanted to make it clear that Diggs suggested this and thought that we could talk about this question for 5 minutes. That's where I'm going with that.
I think there is a legitimate because, like, can you? But honestly, think about it. Like, do you have a? What do you normally say? That's what
I say. Backpack.
Why?
Because I haven't been in school in like 150 years. I don't know the last time I read a book, I'll be honest with you. I read the iPad.
But I carry it all the time. I carry a book all the time in the bag.
Here you go.
Yeah.
What do you call it?
Backpack.
But you, even with the book in it?
Yeah.
Because you put the book in the bag.
I mostly carry the book. It mostly joins me without being read. Because there's like an ideal dream situation where I'm sitting and reading the book that seems to never happen in my day. So I only get like a book done a season, pretty much.
That's still better than me. So,
you visualize yourself reading and then it never comes true. It's like one of the...
Well, I've actually been spending a lot of time at libraries. So I've been spending a lot more time with books.
Like just around them?
No, I've been in three, and actually on Monday I'm going to the fourth of all the biggest libraries in the world.
What? Wait.
Keep, okay, new topic.
Yeah, keep
four
going on
biggest
that.
Libraries in the world.
So I go and I research the history of food because I work in food, and then I scan the pages I want to from the content I want to read, and then I kind of rewrite it, rework it for my blog. And then people find me. I mean, all the best pages for people coming to read my blog is all food history.
Yeah, but I want to go back biggest libraries of the world.
Yeah, where's the library?
Library of Congress is the biggest in Washington, D.C.
That's the biggest library in the world.
Yeah, and then the second one's in the New York City Library, then London, Alexandria Library.
Oh, that's a beautiful library. Sorry, I happen to have been there.
That's three.
That's four.
No, that's four.
Whoa. London. Oh, London.
Library, Congress, New York, London, Alexandria.
Alexandria, like where?
Egypt.
Egypt.
Yeah.
So we have two out of four here in the U.S.
Yeah, so I need to...
We're killing
it. I need to do a trip to London to just go to that library.
Wow.
Oh, that's the one you have.
Because I'm going to New York on Monday.
The library is great, by the way. I'm just going to... Yeah, but anyway.
I've never been past the lions.
I'm going to show some ignorance. The Library of Congress is something that, of course, I've heard about since I was a child.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Library of Congress. But I never really thought of it as a library.
It's actually... Yeah, it is a library.
I was going to say, is there a card catalog?
Yeah.
Like, could I go into the Library of Congress and get like the latest James Patterson book?
Yes, for sure.
Yeah.
It's like every...
Are you people hearing this? That's you're kidding me. I figured it was just like government stuff.
Me too. Well, yes.
Yeah, thank you. Somebody in the back just said me too.
No, it is the largest library in the world.
But it's like a regular, like I went and got a book out.
Yeah.
And then can I borrow? I can just check it out and then...
That I don't know, because I don't think they will let you just walk away with the books there, especially in the research area. Like, it's like you stay here, we look at you up and down before you go, make sure you don't have any books.
Mm-hmm. So there you go. It's not a real library. It's not a real library.
Our reference library is not real libraries?
Well, hold on. To be fair, Ben Franklin in Philadelphia invented the lending library. And so Pennsylvania had the first lending library where they let you walk out with a book.
Wow.
So,
that's awesome. Pennsylvania, ladies and gentlemen, let's hear it. Oh my God. I'm so proud to be a Pennsylvanian right now. You know that? I grew up in this state, by the way.
Where?
I'm proud to be. Where? Well, the town doesn't exist anymore. it was out in western Pennsylvania. Yeah, it was a coal town. It's I use the past tense because it's gone. It was a coal, not cold. The card catalog drawer has closed on topic number four. I don't even remember what the hell that topic was, but the whole library thing was awesome. Thank you, Karen, for that. Topic number five of this episode, 5x5, trick or treat. 'Tis the season, friends.
Who knows what they're going to be dressed as for Halloween so far? One person, two, three.
Me.
Over
I'm
here, four, five.
I guess technically I know because I'm not doing it.
So. Oh, that's what was my next question. Who's not getting dressed up in a costume?
Okay. John back there isn't. He's out. He's just like, this is my costume, mother. This is it.
Well,
right
he
here.
Told me today I dress so nice. It was very complimentary. I'm surprised that we got to get you into a costume.
Why? What is with you costume people? Like trying to force everybody else into like the like something that they don't want to do.
I'm not forcing anybody.
Leave us alone.
I'm not forcing anybody into a costume. I don't care if you wear a costume or not, Dave.
Thank you.
Yeah. And I'm not going to try and dress you in something that I want you to be dressed in. Like, you know, it could just be a rubber nose or a hat or something. It could just be something simple and easy and you don't have to do much work.
Do you know what you're going to be, Baron, for Halloween this year?
Well, I'm a person who has a number of costumes. I go to a number of costume parties. I run a number of costume parties. I just love a costume party.
All on the same night?
Not all on the same night. Okay. And some of you in the audience have attended. Your faces look very familiar. But I did just order an inflatable rainbow unicorn costume. Mm. And I'm a proud owner of a rainbow unicorn
costume. I think
that
deserves a round of applause. I mean, I was taking a sip. That's why I kind of gasped a little bit. That's fantastic. So I'm actually moving toward this fraternity of people who have like a closet full of costumes. I'm actually starting to collect them now.
Yeah.
I was not a costume person for years. I was kind of in the Diggs camp, Team Diggs over there.
Well, I tried to save costumes from different things that I've, like parties that I've been to over time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, we did a party that was once robots versus ninjas, and that was an actual party.
Wow.
We did priests versus nuns, you know, which was...
Where the hell are these parties? Oh my God.
This is a Halloween.
I run my own costume party, which is the Westminster Human Show. And it's the after party for the Westminster Dog Show. And so half of the people are dressed like animals and the other half are dressed like handlers.
When does this happen?
After the Westminster Dog Show.
Yeah, no, but I'm here to admit that I have no idea what that even means.
Sure.
I'm sorry, wait a second. What are you supposed to dress like the dogs?
Half of the people dress like dogs. Not just dogs. We had to expand.
Well, what the other half of people dress like? That's what
cats,
I want to know.
Animals. We've had a
just animals,
like
just
an octopus, a panda. I mean, hilarious things, and they all compete for the same events.
All right, I might do that.
Diggs is on board, ladies and gentlemen.
That sounds good.
You could choose if you want to be a handler.
I don't know why
that
got me. I just did. I'm literally just thinking like somebody walks in like a bulldog, like like a
that could be you, Diggs. You realize that? Like,
No. I'll be the handler. So I look like a human.
But you can't compete without a pet. You can't just walk around holding a leash and saying I'm competing. You have to have someone come with you.
Oh wait a second! This just got real, folks. This just got real.
Oh okay. Wait a second. Oh,
this might be a little, you know. This is a family show. Like, I don't know where we're going with this whole people are coming with leashes and all this.
Look, business. I'm just saying this is not for Halloween. This is
apparently not. This is way past
but
Halloween.
I will be dressed in a costume for Halloween for sure. When Halloween happens at the Candy Factory, I for sure.
October 20th, ladies and gentlemen. October 20th. It's our Spooky-Okie 2023. We're doing karaoke and costumes. Isn't that nuts? Costumes are not required. Diggs is welcome.
Thank you.
And John, you're welcome. You don't have to wear a costume, but on October 20th, Spooky Okie right here. Well, that's really fantastic. I mean, that's really some fascinating
stuff. A lot of fun. I laugh pretty much for 2 hours for the entire event. I mean, just laughter.
We moved into a house on Walnut about 4 years ago, and it was a great Halloween house, and we dressed it up, you know, the house, and I kind of started getting into the whole, like, scaring kids again. I did that a little bit back when my kids were little. My eldest heiress, who's not with us tonight, and I schemed a really horrifying thing to scare children. Mm-hmm. She was, I don't know, she was like 10 or something like that. She's like, oh, we got to scare these kids. We basically dressed her up, like, I'll tell the story. We dressed her up like a scarecrow kind of thing. Like, she was covered, no skin was showing, and she was sitting on this porch swing. And I had an amplifier, a small amplifier, that I stuck underneath this box. It was all, you know, decorated, and I put all these effects on my voice, you know, kind of made it sound like Darth Vader or something. I don't remember. Mm. And I went into the house, you know, and the microphone was in the house, so I could peek through the. So she was sitting on this. She was sitting on this swing, and the kids would come up, and she had the bowl of candy in her lap, and she was sitting there like a scared, like, you know what I mean, like not moving at all. And then I would talk to them, to these kids. And they, of course, they thought that it was because the sound was there. And I would say, like, you know, what are you doing, child? Something like that, you know, like really scary shit. Like, I wasn't holding back. You know, the kids were crying.
Oh my God.
And then Ruby was sitting on this, and then she would like move her arm real quick, and they would jump and scream and run off. You know what I mean? And I did it all night. But then you would say exactly what, like, you would talk about their costume, so then they knew that
you're watching.
Like, yeah, I'd be like, You're a fun-looking little witch, you know, something like that. Well, that's creepy as shit, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I just brought this whole thing down.
That's okay. It was the last topic.
That was it.
If you're going to give treats, please try and find some healthy alternatives as well instead of
nuts.
A huge bag of terrible candy individually wrapped.
If you're looking for treats this year for trick-or-treat, nuts. Nuts is the answer.
10 pounds of macadamia nuts is exactly what you need to give to the kids that come to your door.
He can hook you up with as many macadamia nuts. It's been a real... Hey, it's been a real pleasure having you on the program.
Oh, thank you for having me.
It's great. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, Baron on the program tonight. That is the fastest 25 minutes in podcasting right there, friends. Zing. Diggs, my friend, always a pleasure to see you.
And you.
And we will catch you next time on 5 by 5.
The Candy Factory 5x5 podcast is produced at So Good Media Studio at the Candy Factory,
a co-working and social club located in downtown Lancaster, PA.
The show is hosted by Jason Mundock and Robert Diggs, with music by John Chin.
Yeah, yeah. He's a really cool guy. Find 5x5
at the Candy Factory website, coworkinginlancaster.com.